online. It's so awesome to be able to host and have all of you. Just one hand clap for everybody that's a part of our church, would you? You guys are great. Really good to see all of your faces. Thank you guys for being in our first service this Sunday. We're going to start a brand new series today, and I'm really, really excited about it. And I want to get straight to the content. So if you have a worship guide, you should have been given one when you came in. I'd love for you to reach inside of there. There's a sermon note insert. I'd love for you to take that out. If you're a note taker, you can write some things down with me. All my verses and things that I'll be using today will also be on there. And so I want you to know that this is something you can utilize all week long. So here's one thing that I've discovered. And I just want to give this to some of you, is that some of you, you're at a place in your journey where maybe when it comes to your Bible, you're not really sure, like, where do I go to? And I'm not really sure what to read and what should I study? And there may be questions for you on just where to go in the Bible, because it's for you, it's a big, thick book that you're not quite yet sure how to navigate. Use this as a resource. Take these verses and study them throughout the week and just take it as something that perhaps you can use on your own to help you to acclimate and learn God's word. You'll hear me kind of expand on the verses that you'll see in that note here today, and then perhaps give you a little bit more of a clear mind to be able to meditate on it through the week. It's just an idea. It's just something to help you if it does. But I want to get into today's message and really start this series. I don't know who is like a regular call at home member of the house, like whatever you want to call it. If you're still kicking the tires around here, like I'm not sure if this is my church yet, or maybe you're here for the very first time. But for those of us that have been here for any measure of time at all, here's what I hope you recognize that I certainly recognize, is that God is on the move in this house. He really is. He really, really is. God is doing some amazing things in this house. And so we decided to call the series In This House just on purpose and with incredible strategy, because we want to kind of reveal and talk about the reality of what God's doing here. I feel like I need to, as a pastor, I need to communicate as best I can realities to everybody in our church. So let me explain what I mean. There's a tension for leaders. And if you're a leader, you would know this. If you oversee a department, or you lead your home, or a business, or whatever it may be, no matter what your level of leadership is, you may have recognized this, that there's a tension that leaders sort of have to live in and learn how to navigate. And that tension is, who do you tell what to and when? Right? And some of you are nodding your heads like, yeah, yeah. Like, they're like, just in your home, just think about parenting. There are certain things that you and your spouse may be aware of that the kids, they're going to feel the effect of it perhaps, but they don't necessarily need to know right now. Does that make sense? I remember times in our marriage where things were really, really tough financially, and it was like, do you think the kids are going to notice that we eat the same meals every single week on the same days, because right, like that's the limit of our budget, and so like, do they really need to know that things are really difficult for us, or do we just need to let them sort of live in the idea that, hey, everything's under control? Is that making sense, everybody? And so in the church life, quite frankly, there's a reality sometimes that it's like, man, there's a lot of stuff going on, but some of it, it's like, when do you say it and who do you say it to? Because ultimately, everybody needs to know. At some point, everybody's going to feel the effect of what God is doing. Is that making sense? And so, honestly, this series, and quite frankly, moving forward in this year, God is doing so much, and we're moving so fast. There's so many decisions being made and logistical things happening for us to continue to move with God, that I'm going to bring you vision every time it's necessary. And when I say vision, I mean like next steps, like this is what we're doing in this house. And I'm just going to bring it when necessary. So like on a normal year, like when we're growing at our normal rates and all that stuff, I like to bring Vision Sunday a couple times a year. I like to sort of put it behind our 21 days of prayer each time. So right after 21 days of prayer and fasting, I like to share some vision. After 21 days of prayer and feasting, come on, in August, right? I like to share some vision. But we're moving at a rate right now that I just need to communicate vision every chance I can. And so this whole month, I plan to just be kind of unpacking that, hey, these are some things that God is doing. These are some moves that we are making in order to continue to reach people and in order to continue to see God do what God's called us to do in this house. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so we're the first installment today, I want to unpack for all of us. I just want to kind of get back to the basics. For some of us, this is going to be sort of some reminder, some review. You're going to be like, yeah, I've heard this before, but I'm going to try to unpack it in a healthy way. I'm going to try to pour more vision back into us about what we do, why we do it, and how we do it. I really want to pour into us in those ways so that we don't forget. Because there's a thing, I've heard it said like this by certain leaders, there's a thing called vision drift. Anybody ever heard this term before? Vision drift. What that means is that over time, people just tend to drift away from vision. I've also heard it said this way, that vision leaks. Imagine a cup, maybe a coffee cup, and you pour some coffee on inside of that cup, but I want you to imagine that there may be a couple of pinholes at the very, just very, very small, but they're there, and little by little by little, that coffee is going to run out of the bottom of that cup. I didn't think this analogy out. I could have probably done it for you, but is that making sense? Like, little by little, it's going to run out of the cup. In other words, if you want to keep the cup full, you're going to have to pour more coffee in. Well, the same is true in the life of a church. I believe that vision leaks. So there's a cup where vision has to be poured into, but really just over time it drifts, it leaks. You start to bend away from it. So my job as your pastor, I got to keep pouring vision into the cup. I got to keep the vision cup full so that we continue to go where God is calling this house to go. Is this all making sense? I hope so. So let's get to it, can we? We're going to go back to the basics today. I'm going to come back to the foundational bricks of who we are, and that's what we're going to talk about. So if you got your worship guides, you can look along. I want to start with this verse in Romans. I really enjoy this verse for a lot of reasons. The Bible says, just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function, and so it is with Christ's body. We are, and I love these words, many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So let me just kind of unpack my thoughts behind this verse for a moment, that we are a part of the body of Christ here at Church on the Rock. Amen. A part of it. So we are one church family in this ginormous family of God that spans across the world. So I like to call it this. I learned it somewhere. I don't know. I don't have a lot of original thoughts, to be honest with you. I hijack a lot of things that are good, and I just use them. And I came up with this, or heard this term that I use a lot, the Big C Church. Like, we're a church, but there's the Big C Church, like the body of Christ at large. The same is true, though, within a church, that there's this big family, but each of us have a part to play. We're individual members of a body. So I want you to kind of see this from an overarching standpoint, if you will, that we are one house in a kingdom. Amen. So the churches that are around us in our city, around the corner, across town, they are not our competition. They are our teammates. They are our family, right? And so I buy into them as my brothers and my sisters, then we're advancing the kingdom in our community together. This is my heart. This is what I love. This is what, I mean, my heart beats for a unified body of Christ. But there is a reality that we are many parts. And so in order for me to understand, like, how to serve my church. Now let's bring it down to our church level, this house. For me to understand how to best serve the church, I need to kind of understand me, right? Need to learn who I am. God, what do you want me to do to contribute to the family? Well, so in this series, we're going to be really specific to our house. And we're going to talk about what God has called this house to do and how this house is responding to God's move and how this house is responding to what God is doing. Because there is this big body that we're a part of, but we're just going to be a little more specific to this house. Is that making sense? All I'm doing is trying to set you up for success throughout the rest of this series. All right. So I want to start here, and I love the video. Way to go, team. I want to start with our purpose statement, and it's simply this. At Church on the Rock, we exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus, that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. All right, so let me clarify some things. This is what we exist for in this house. This is who we are in this house. This is what we do in this house. And I'm going to break it down really quickly. I don't have a lot of time to get into this, but I'm going to break it down really quickly, that this mission statement, this purpose statement that we carry is derived from the Great Commission of Jesus. Jesus said these words. He said, I want you to go into all the world and I want you to preach the gospel to everybody. In other words, everybody needs to hear about me. And so there's the first part of our mission statement. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus. We're going to tell them. We're going to tell them. Jesus also said, though, I want you to make disciples of all nations. So they don't just need to hear, they need to grow. So not only do they need to understand that there's hope for them, understand that there's salvation for them, understand that they can belong to this family, they need to understand how to function in this family. There's steps for them to take. There's the second half of our purpose statement, that they may become fully devoted followers of Christ. So it's really built from the Great Commission of Jesus. Today, though, we're going to focus really on this part that we exist, and these words right here, we exist to reach people. That's what we exist for, to reach people. In fact, I want everybody to say that just the first, from right here. Let's just say, what would that be, five words? Ready? On three. We exist to reach people. That's what we exist for. That is who we are in this house. And so I want to just sort of talk that out just a little bit. You guys ready? You want to write some things with me? Write this down with me. My first point is this, that our purpose is people. It's our purpose. Now, I know what some people are thinking, getting a little disappointed. Like, well, I thought that Jesus was everything. Okay, let me explain that our number one core value at our church is this: Jesus over everything. Yeah. Like, everything we do is a result of Jesus. So the purpose of people is the result of our relationship with our Father. So don't misunderstand what I'm communicating today. So I'm operating under the assumption that we understand that the big idea is God is always at the center. The Word of God is our playbook. It's our map. It's what gives us direction to where we're going. It's the absolute truth of our lives. It can never veer from the truth and the power of God's Word. It's centered around Him. Our hope is built in Jesus. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that helps us day in and day out. I mean, so because of who God is, we now have this result that we have a purpose to reach people. And so our purpose, I'm just trying to like put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Our purpose is people. We exist to reach them with this life-giving message so that they can grow in God. Okay, so here we go. Ready? So again, this is a reminder, we're going back to the basics. And by the way, if you come to All Access Step 1 today, you're going to hear this in great detail, what I'm about to show you right here. There are four things. Just four things that we want to see happening in the lives of every single one of you and every single person that ever becomes a part of this house. Four things. And I'm going to tell you why we chose these four things, because we believe that God chose these four things. All throughout Scripture, from cover to cover, Old Testament and New Testament, multiple examples in both, these four themes continue to repeat from the heart of God for His hope for all of mankind. And so at Church on the Rock, we want people to know God. That's what we want. We exist to reach Him with the life-giving message of Jesus. You have to know God. There's only one way to know God. It's through His Son, Jesus Christ, John 14:6. We want people to find freedom. We got issues, right? And so, man, I want you to be able to find freedom from the things that are holding you back. We want people to discover purpose. It's what we're talking a lot about today. And then after that, we want people to know how to make a difference. I'm going to leave this up for a second so you can keep writing. But let me say it this way, everybody. You ready? At Church on the Rock, we do four things. And we only do four things. It is all we do. And it is these four things. Everything we do in this house is pointed at these things. We would rather do less things really, really well than a lot of things really, really mediocre. Yeah. And so what we've done is we've said, God, what are you calling this house to do? And who are you calling this house to be? And how are you calling this house to move? And we believe that this is what God has said to us. And so therefore, this is all we do, because we want people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. This is how it, again, this is all step one, all access stuff. How do you help people know God? Through our weekend services. How do you help people find freedom? It's through our life groups and relationships. How do you help people discover the purpose of their life? It's through our all access process. We're going to help you understand you, help you understand God's call. And then how do you help people make a difference? Through our dream team. It's all we do. Like, nothing else that we do. So everything that we do points to these things. Here's what I love about these four things. Because if I want you to think back, for some of you, this will apply to some of us in the room. Think back to, like, before Christ in your life, before you were a Christian, you had a moment where you knew God. Like, all of a sudden, the lights came on, and I see it. Like, I understand who Christ Jesus is, and there's this awakening, freeing sort of thing going on in your life that you know God. How many of you guys ever found freedom from something in your life? And isn't it amazing when you move past something? Like, man, I'm free. Thank God that doesn't hold me anymore. It's awesome to discover purpose, and some of us have understood that God's calling me to something. I have a passion for something. God has wired me a certain way. I think a certain way, and we discover this purpose in our lives. And then if you've ever made a difference in anyone's life, at any level, at any point, it's the best feeling in the world. When you can pay the bill that someone else couldn't afford to pay, it feels awesome. When you can mow the lawn for the old lady that can't afford to pay the lawn company and doesn't have the physical capacity to do it on her own, but you can, and it is the best feeling in the world to make a difference. What I love most, though, is that all of these things are a process. None of them happen only one time. Because even though at one point in my life I knew, like, I met God, how many of you know that I can always know God more? It's a journey. It's a relationship. I know God more and more and more the closer I get. How many of you know that even though I found freedom from something in my life, there's something else I need freedom for? I need it. So I can continuously find freedom, even though I may understand a purpose. How many of you know that life changes and seasons change? And sometimes I discover that I have a greater purpose. I have a different purpose, that God's going to shift my purpose. That it's a process. Purpose is always changing. It ebbs and it flows and it evolves and it moves. And then making a difference, my goodness, I could never make a big enough difference. And what I love about what God has called this house to do is that it's a process of life that all of us can stay in all the time. So you really never graduate from one to the next. You just constantly stay in a process of just knowing God and finding freedom and discovering a purpose and making a difference. And all of a sudden, when that wheel starts turning, momentum begins to build. And then all of a sudden, we see God start moving in this house. Come on, I hope I'm preaching good. Here we go. All right, let me show you a verse. I just think it sets us up perfectly for what we're talking about from Romans chapter 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Woo, that's fire right there. Yes, but I love the questions, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him unless if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. We are going to be a church with purpose. In this house, we are going to answer the questions. We're going to say we will own the responsibility to tell people, to send people, to equip people, to invite people, to love on people like this. We just accept it. Yes, God, we will do it. We'll do it your way. We're going to help people know you, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. This is who we are. This is what we do. It excites the mess out of me. Because I'm going to tell you something, we're solving the world's greatest problem. Yep. And it's godlessness. Yep. It's the greatest problem in the world. Amen. And we've been tasked with a mission to go fix it. Amen. And I love that. I thank God for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to do that. And I thank God that God has said, hey, and here's what I love about the Great Commission of Jesus. He said, go tell everybody everywhere about me. Go tell them. And then he said, and go make disciples everywhere. And I want you to recognize that Jesus never told us how to do that. He didn't say, all right, buy a piece of property, get a building on it, get a bunch of chairs, put them in rows, okay? get some musical equipment, sing a few songs, talk for 35, 40 minutes, say amen, do it again 7 days later. He didn't say that, did he? He just said, go reach them. Hey, and go disciple them. And this is why you will find, I like to say it this way, you'll find different flavors in different churches. I believe that the body of Christ has the same agenda. There's just sometimes there's different ways to live it out. And so the reason that some of you prefer this church and not the other is because you like the way we live it out. It's not that they're wrong. It's not that we're better. That's not true at all. Other people prefer that church versus this church. And it's not because that church is better than this church or that we've got something wrong. That's not, like, it doesn't have to be better or worse. It can be different. And it can be okay. And so all I want to do throughout this entire month is really clarify how we live this mission out in this house. This is who we are. This is how we fulfill this great commission. We want to answer these questions. We want to solve the world's greatest problem. It's just who God's called us to be. All right, number two, I want you to write this down with me. This is a big one. This is a really, really big one. Because we're a house of purpose, right? Like we are living on purpose. We are living to reach people. You ready for it? Come on, man, this is going to be revelational for some of you. Here we go. We put purpose over preference. Ouch. In this house, we choose our purpose over our preference. We decide the purpose that God has called us to is more important than my comfort, than how I feel about it. It matters more that I live out what God has called me to live out than for me to stay comfortable. My purpose will supersede my preference. I'm gonna give you a lot of examples, and honestly, they're super easy to find. They're so easy to find. You look around our dream team. By the way, if you're new here, all of our volunteers, we call them the dream team. That's the name, the nickname that they have gotten. It's our dream team. And you just look around at our dream team, and you'll see a bunch of people that put purpose over preference. Lots of them. I'm just going to slingshot a few examples. For example, every single person that serves on our parking team in August has a purpose over a preference. Come on, somebody. Every single one of our team members that shows up here at 6:30 in the morning to get ready to start serving the church for hours and hours ahead of them has a purpose over their preferences. It's easier to go inside and be cool. It's easier to sleep in and get a little extra rest. After all, it's the weekend. But the reality is we've decided the purpose matters more than the preference. So it's not about me being comfortable. It's about me living with a mission. And so for another example is that we will intentionally, in this house, we will intentionally ask all of our volunteers to take the worst parking spots, the worst ones. Why? Because we want our guests to feel like they're at home. We want our guests to get the best treatment. And so I would prefer to not have to walk with my white shoes through the dew-soaked grass and dirt in the mornings because I like them to stay pristine and clean. And I would really prefer that I could park on some concrete somewhere and take a short walk to the door. However, my purpose is above my preference. And so I put these in my backpack and wear a different pair of shoes in. And then I change in the office. People ask me all the time, how do you keep your shoes so clean? I say, listen, it's a commitment, okay? Not everybody's willing to live that out. I am. I can't tell you how many times I've watched our dream team stand up when they see the auditorium is filling up and they're running out of spaces, and they'll stand up and say, take my seats. I would prefer that the guests have my seat because now, watch this, my purpose is becoming my preference. I'll stand out in the lobby. It doesn't matter. I'll catch it online. I'll watch it on the TV. I'll get out of the way because the purpose matters most. Can I compliment some of you in this room? And I know there are some of you in this room because I see your faces right now, who decided that you would vacate our most popular services that pack out on a regular basis, and you chose to wake up earlier to completely change your schedule to come to the earliest service that has the most space. You know why you did that? Because the purpose is above your preference. Thank you for having purpose. Thank you for making space for our mission to be fulfilled. Because if all the seats are full, we can't reach people. Amen. Like now all of a sudden, the guests that wanted to come, like, ah, man, there's no place for me. I'm not coming back next week. But there are people that say, my purpose matters most. And yeah, I'd rather sleep in it. You know, it's more convenient for me to head out to my brunch if I went to that service. But truly, it's the purpose that matters to me. And what I love about it is that truly purpose becomes preference. I'm going to give you one more example, then we'll move on. That there are Sundays, obviously, that I don't preach, right? It'll be another communicator, one of our staff pastors, perhaps, or a guest speaker or something will come in. And so I have mentors and people that speak into my life on a regular basis. And so I've had a few people, even on our teams and stuff like that, will suggest to me, Pastor, why don't you just show up to one of our three services with your family, sit, have church, and go home. Like, we got you, man. We can cover it. We got you. It's a suggestion. I've had mentors recommend that. Hey, don't even go in early. Just if you're off for the weekend, man, trust your team, and you just show up and just receive from your house instead of sir. But you want to know something? I can't do it. I can't help not. The purpose that God has called this house to has become the preference of my life. That it's like, man, listen, even if I'm not preaching, I'm going to serve somewhere. I want to. I can't help not to. And some of you have seen me on golf carts in the parking lot, and I'll serve in kids ministry. I did that on purpose just about a month ago. I said, I need a yellow shirt, and I need you to put me on the schedule, and I need to get into our kids ministry. I just want to see what happens. I need to feel it. I need to experience it. I need to applaud this team. I need to make sure they know that they matter and that they're cared for. Just put me anywhere you want in the kids building. By the way, I'm background certified and all that stuff. Like, I'm good. And just put me in there. And I served in there for more than half the day. Why? Because the purpose of God is becoming the preference of my life. And I'm telling you, if you'll take the first few steps of putting purpose over preference, it'll start to become your preference. But I got to be honest with you, there are still times, even now, that there are a lot of things I prefer differently. A lot of things. To the point that there are certain things that I don't even ask me anymore. Because my preference is irrelevant to how it affects people. So, for example, when it comes to certain things like creativity, creative things in the church, I'm not the most creative guy in the world. Now, I have creativity in me because I was made by the Creator and I was made in His image. But it's not my gifting, for sure. And so when our creatives get together and they start, you know, spitballing and creating concepts, oh, man, we really think this would be great. And what if we had this in the video and blah, blah, blah. And I've learned to, you know what? Do your thing. Do your thing. Now, I might prefer a different song, font, style. I don't know. But you know what? It's not my preference that matters. It's the purpose that matters. You know what? Let the creatives be the creatives. You guys go do your thing. I'm not going to slow you down in the gifting and the call that God's put on your life. Am I making sense? Purpose matters. It matters. Give you a quick verse. The greatest love that you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. And listen, stop thinking so literally in this verse. Now, Jesus was prophetically speaking of himself, and he would literally lay down his life for his friends. But how oftentimes do I have to lay down my agenda for my friends? Amen. My preference for my friends. How many times is it more important for me to suffer so that someone else can benefit? More often than not, that's true. And so this is a very literal, it's a very actual, it's a very figurative. You can just form this into your life, but there are often times, yeah, man, I'd take a bullet for you, bro. Hey, can you help me move? I'm busy. Would you really take a bullet? You see what I'm doing here? You see what I'm saying? Because purpose matters. Amen. Say amen, and we'll move on. Amen. All right, good. All right, here we go. Last point, and I'm almost done. We'll land the plane real soon. I like this one a lot. Our purpose, it drives our passion. Our purpose drives our passion. So because we have a purpose. It generates a passion within us. Like God is calling us to something. And maybe I was ahead of myself even. I don't know. Maybe that's what I was describing moments ago. It's like, I can't help it. I want to serve. I want to be involved. Like if I'm here, I'm serving. It's just who I am. I can't help it. I want to hold the door for you. Please let me get it. You know what I mean? Like it's in my heart to do, but it's because I have this passion that is driven by this purpose that's deep within me, that God has called me to something. And because I'm leaned into it, all of a sudden I get more and more excited and more enthused. And I'm telling you, some of you guys understand exactly what I mean. You're like, yes, I know. And then some of you guys are like, well, I'm figuring that out. And then others of you are like, I don't know if I believe you. And that's what, like, it's okay. And what I would encourage you is try it. Just try it. Listen, if you're going to be in this house, run the play of this house. Like, I've asked this question before, and I've heard so many people respond and say how God has changed their life because of this question. And here's the question. What would your life look like? What would your life look like if 1 year from now you had been in church 52 times? What would it look like? That's every week of the year, by the way. I wasn't a good math student either. Like, what if you just committed? I'm going to go to the house. I'm going to go. What would your life look like if you took that next brave step and you said, all right, fine. It's uncomfortable. It's a little awkward. I'm not sure that I'm ready. But I'm gonna get into a life group. And pastor keeps talking about being relational and growth, and you find freedom through relationships, and you got to have people that are going where you're going. Fine, all right, fine. Like, what would your life look like if you just did it? I don't know. Maybe if you put your purpose over your preference, then all of a sudden maybe a passion would start to come, because perhaps the life-changing friendship that you need is in that group. What would it look like if you finally said, all right, this is the house that God's called me to. Fine. It's time for me to leave the bleachers, walk across the stripe of the sideline, get on the field, and play the game. I'm going to start serving. Put me on a rotation. Put me on a dream team. Teach me. I don't know how to make a difference. Teach me how to make a difference. Show me what making a difference looks like. What if you've been here a long time and God's just saying, hey, just go to All Access. Hear what the heart of this house is. Find out how to run the play in this house and try it. Who knows what could happen in your life if all of a sudden you just decide, all right, I'm not just going to halfway this thing. I'm going to all way this thing. I'm going to do it the whole route. I'm all in. And I'm just telling you right now, one of a couple things are going to happen. And I'll be as honest and transparent with you as possible. One of a couple things. One, you're going to say, man, I love the purpose of this house because I love people. You're going to say, man, I definitely want to put purpose over preference. I see the value in doing that. I recognize that when the purpose is first, that it influences and impacts people. So I'll put my preference to the side. What'll start to happen is you'll start to gain this inner momentum of passion. This is exciting. I see it now. Not only do I see it changing them, it is changing me. And all of a sudden, so that's one thing that could happen. The other thing that could happen is you could be like, I don't know if this is my house. Hey, that's, you know what? That's all right. Maybe there's a different house that they run this mission a little bit different way. That's a little more your flavor. Well, that's okay. They're not our competition. They're our close friends. We love them. And you know what? If you're better suited to be served and to serve in that house, well, by all means, we'd love for you to be there. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Selfishly, I want you to be here. I like you a lot. So hang out. I'm just being honest. There's nothing inside of me that wants anyone to leave. Everything inside of me wants you to be in this house. But what I want more than that is purpose. God's plan for you. God's place for you. And if it's not in this house, okay, then my preference will go to the side and I'll allow God's purpose to move forward. Is this making sense? And I'm just calling to people. What's your next step? What's God calling you to do? What's next for you to say, yeah, you know what? God is doing something amazing in this house. I'm just telling you, and I'm not trying to brag, and I'm almost done, I promise, that I'm just telling you, we're a part of something special. We really are. I thank God for it. I just thank God for it. I spend a lot of time in a lot of circles with a lot of pastors and leaders on purpose. And I have a lot of friends that struggle. Their churches are struggling. And God's really blessing us at Church on the Rock. And so I don't want to take it for granted, and I don't want to miss the moment. I want God to keep doing in this house what he's doing in this house. And so, God, I got to stay on purpose. I got to stay on this purpose. I got to lean into this mission. We're reaching people. It's about people, God. I got to get on board with what you're doing. And I think when the house is doing that, the house finds favor. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the greatest resource in the world is people. Amen. Buildings are awesome, and having money in the bank, it's nice. I have a good friend of mine. He says this. He says, listen, Josh, money is not oxygen, but it's close, right? I get it. It's important and all that stuff. Like, it really is. It's important. There's expenses, and ministry has overhead and costs, and like all that's a reality. But I'm going to tell you something. The greatest resource that God trusts his church with is people. And in this house, we just value people at the highest level. So we will lose money to serve you because you're the mission. You see what I'm saying? I'm getting lost. See my passion? It's how I get long-winded. I'm going to end right here. Here we go. A couple verses and we're going to pray. Luke 19:10. The Son of Man, which is Jesus, came, watch what he came for, to seek and to save the lost. I want you to notice what his purpose was. I came here for a purpose. I've got to reach people. Okay? Then he was so passionate about it that he went out and he started asking people to help. And he said, hey, come along with me and I'll show you how to fish for the souls of men. Now, a little unique parallel, he was talking to fishermen and he was just speaking their language. I'm your pastor. I am, and I want what's best for you. And I'm called by God to lead this house on this mission with this purpose. And I'm so serious about it that I will unapologetically ask you to help in this house. Like, let's serve. Because I'm gonna tell you something, Easter is coming. It's really, really close. And I'm freaked out a little because it's so close. But I'm excited a lot because it's coming. Last year, we did a lot of services, and we saw a lot of people. And we saw real, true life change happen as a result of that. And I know you see the growth, and you see what God is doing, and like we're meeting in a cracker box and all that stuff. I'm as much detail as I can unpack this month, I'm going to do for you, okay? Just give me a little time. And I'm going to communicate as much as I can about the logistical steps our church is taking to fix some of the problems that you are seeing, okay? But I'm just telling you that God is calling us to more. He's calling us to more. He's asking us to step up. We're going to stretch a little bit. It's going to require some faith and some trust in God. Oh, God, this is nerve-wracking. But we have a great opportunity to impact the greatest resource on earth, people. And I'd love for you to get involved in this house. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Maybe you're in this service or listening to a podcast or watching this playback on YouTube, and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus with your life. I would love to invite you to do that. In order to live his purpose, you have to start a relationship with him. And it all starts with knowing God. It's important that we know God. And there's only one way that we can know God. Jesus declared it. He said, I'm the way, I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody can come to my Father except by me. The only way to have a personal relationship with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. He is the reason that we can know God in a relationship, not a religion. And then He places His very Spirit within us. At the moment of our salvation, we receive the Spirit of God. It's called the Holy Spirit, and He dwells within us, and He leads us, and He guides us, and He counsels us, and He helps us. And I just want to invite you, if you've never made that decision, to choose to walk with Jesus right now. Anybody, the Bible said, we read it earlier, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want to ask you to repeat this prayer after me, no matter where you are, no matter where you're listening from. I'd love for you to repeat this prayer after me and invite Jesus into your life. Church family, you know how we do it. I ask everybody to say this prayer so that the people saying it for the very first time can say it with total confidence. Let's get ready to pray. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you give God praise for those that made that decision? You guys are awesome.